Revelation chapter 12. Just one verse. Verse 11. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. They have overcome him by reason of the blood of the Lamb and by reason of the word of their testimony and loved not their life even unto death. Let's have a short word of prayer. Dear Lord, as we gathered here this morning, our hearts bow in worship. How can you, the Holy One, love people such as we are, the chief of sinners? And yet, Lord, Thou hast done it. Thou hast bought us with such a tremendous price. Even Thy blood, Thy life. Lord, we are forever Thine. As we gathered here this morning, we pray that Thy Spirit will open Thy word to us. Speak to our hearts that we may be transformed and be conformed to Thy image. Lord, we give this time back to You. Whatever Thou dost desire to speak to us, speak. Thy servants hear it. We ask in Thy precious name.
Amen.
Amen. Brothers and sisters, I would like to ask you a question. Do you know what time are we living today? According to the Word of God, we are living at the end time. In other words, all the prophecies in the Bible that precedes the second coming of our Lord Jesus have all been fulfilled. You do not and you cannot find any prophecy in the Bible before the coming of the Lord that has not been fulfilled. It is true there are still many prophecies to be fulfilled. But these prophecies will be fulfilled at the coming of the Lord and after His coming. So, brothers and sisters, we are living in a very special time. You know, even in the first generation, the people, those who love the Lord, they were waiting for the Lord's return. Because the Lord said, I'm coming back to receive you to Myself. So in the first generation, those loved the Lord, they waited for the Lord's return. But the Lord did not return. Not in any sense that he does not want to come back to receive his own, but only for the reason that his own has not been prepared. And this happened century after century. And we are now in the 21st century. We thank God that all the prophecy precedes the coming of the Lord has been fulfilled. And we are at a very crucial time. You know, brothers and sisters, the Lord may come back today. It is possible. The problem is, are we ready to meet him? If the Lord should come now, brothers and sisters, what will happen to us? Will we be raptured to the throne to become the welcoming party to receive our Lord Jesus to come back to earth? Or will we be left behind and go through the great tribulation? So, brothers and sisters, this is the time we have to be serious. We cannot afford to be loose and not seek earnestly after the Lord. Now, how will the Lord come back? How do we know that he is coming back? What is going to happen next? Indeed, there are still many prophecies that need to be fulfilled at his coming and after his coming. But brothers and sisters, we can assure you that all the prophecies precede the coming of the Lord have been fulfilled. So do not try to look as something that is going to happen, and then you wake up and say, now I have to prepare myself to meet the Lord. No. He can come now. But what will happen when he comes? You remember in Matthew chapter 24, the Lord Jesus said, as in the days of Noah, so shall be the day of the coming of him. In the days of Noah, everything was as usual. There was no sound of big winds. There was no sound of rain. Everything was as usual. But then, suddenly God called Noah and his family to enter into the ark. And the Lord shut the door. As the door was shut, suddenly, rain came upon this earth. Springs broke out. And until the whole world was underwater, only Noah and his family were saved. So, brothers and sisters, he said, when I'm coming, two will be working in the field. Two will be grinding the meal. And in Luke, it tells us two were sleeping. But suddenly, one was taken and one was left. Now we know the two stand for the Christians who will be living at the time of his coming. That is to say, it refers to be here. But when will be taken and when will be left? Obviously, they will do the same thing. You know, the earth is round. That's the reason why the scripture say two were sleeping this midnight. Two were grinding this early morning. And two were in the field this noontime. That is to say, all over the world, suddenly, one is taken. Brothers and sisters, do you hope that you will be among those taken? Or do you rather to stay behind for the great tribulation of 3 years and a half? So the problem is, how can we be those who will be taken? What's the difference between the taken and the left? Outwardly, they were doing the same thing. You could not see the difference. But the Lord knows who is really His. He will make no big mistake. Now maybe you will say, the number of the church is 12, it's not 2. Where are the other 10 then? Now if you read the Bible, in the next chapter, Matthew 25, you remember, there are 10 virgins. So 10 and 2 makes 12, the perfect number. The 10 virgins represents those who are the Lord's throughout the centuries. They have been waiting for the Lord. The Bible said they took the torch, went out to meet the Lord. But the Lord was delayed, so they all fell asleep. Now here, the asleep means they all died. But then suddenly a voice said, "The Lord cometh." They all woke up, resurrected. But the 5 wise virgins, they had extra oil. They poured into the torch, so they could go forward to meet the Lord. But the 5 foolish, in their vessels, they put other precious things. They think they are something more precious than the indwelt Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. So they put other things in that vessel, but these other things cannot make the torch bright. Brothers and sisters, that's the way of the coming of the Lord. So this morning, I would like to share with you, dear brothers and sisters, on Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12 refers exactly to this time. Here you see a woman. He was clothed with the sun, and the moon under his feet, her feet, and above her head a crown of 12 stars. Now, who is that woman? That woman is the church of the centuries. Close with the sun. The sun is Christ Jesus. In other words, the church belongs to Christ. And the moon under her feet. The moon represents the law. She is related to the law too. And upon her head a crown of 12 stars. That referred to the patriarch time. That is like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, these patriarchs. So this is the woman of the century. But here, she is at the end time. And she was in travail to give birth. In other words, the church is going through troubles. But these troubles really are birth pains. Brothers and sisters, look at the world today. The world is full of troubles. There is no place that is safe. But as the church goes through these troubles, it gives her birth. Something is going to be born out of all these troubles. So this woman represents the church at the last days, that is, in our days. And then you find another vision. It's the vision of a red dragon. And of course, by its descriptions, we know that it refers to Satan. And Satan was there before this woman. But strangely, Satan didn't seem to care about that woman. You know, the church is the enemy of Satan, because the church belongs to Christ, and to follow Christ, to testify Christ. So the church should be the target of Satan. But strangely here, Satan didn't seem to care about that woman. Why? Because that woman has lost her testimony. But he is interested in the womb of that woman. Because he knows that which comes out of her womb will be the end of his days. She is going to bring forth a man child. So the dragon was waiting there for the man child to be born. And as soon as he is born, he wants to swallow him. Now, who is that man-child? We know that there are many different interpretations. And I'm not going to go through all these different interpretations. I will only share with you what I believe is the right interpretation. Some people say it refers to Christ, the man-child, but it cannot be. Because after Christ was born, he was not immediately taken back to heaven. Now, if that should happen, then we have no hope. But our Lord Jesus stayed upon this earth through 33 and a half years. Sufferings, and eventually crucified. But thank God, on the third day, he arose. And now he's seated at the right hand of the Father. So he cannot be Christ, because this boy, man-child, after he is born, immediately he is raptured to heaven. Now, who is this man-child? As you read on, say to verse 11, and you find the word they. That is those who have been raptured to heaven. So the man-child is a collective term. In other words, the man-child does not refer to one person. The man-child refers to a number of people. The man-child is a they. They are the overcomers of the last days. Brothers and sisters, by the grace of God, in their lifetime, they overcame Satan. Their life is a witness and a testimony to Jesus Christ. They are faithful to the testimony of Jesus. And because in their lifetime, they overcame Satan. Therefore, you find when the call came, they were raptured to heaven, to the throne. Now, if you want to be raptured to the throne, you have to pass through the air. Now, what is the air? We know the air is where Satan has his headquarters. So whoever is able to get through the air to heaven shows that he has overcome Satan already. In his lifetime, he has overcome God's enemy. So, brothers and sisters, what will happen next? What are you going to look at next? Suddenly, without notice, some Christians all over the world disappeared. Brothers and sisters, this is the sign of the coming of the Lord. They have been taken to the throne to become the welcoming party to the Lord, to prepare the way for the Lord to return to this earth. And I believe every one of us here will be among them. Do you want to be left behind? If you do, enjoy the world today, to the uttermost, because you don't have much time anymore. But if you really love the Lord, I believe you all want that when the Lord calls, you will respond and be able to rapture even to the throne. These are the overcomers of the last days. They overcame Satan. By what? Number one, by the blood of the Lamb. Brothers and sisters, do not think that the blood of the Lamb is only good at the time you are saved. You were a sinner. You need Christ to save you. He has shed his blood for you. On Calvary's cross, he shed his blood for us to the last drop. Because when, after he died, the soldier came to make sure that he died. So one soldier thrust his spear through his side to his heart and comes out blood and water. Scientists, doctors told us that if a person died of broken heart, the last drop of blood in his heart will be disintegrated into blood and water. Our Lord Jesus died on the cross with a broken heart. But thank God, his blood cleanses us from all our sins. There is no sin that is too great for the shed blood of our Lord Jesus. Do not think that you need the blood of the Lord Jesus. Only at the time you are saved. You realize you are a sinner. You have sinned. And you need the blood of the Lord Jesus to cleanse you. When our Lord Jesus was crucified on the cross, He took our sins in His own body, and there He died for us. But this is just a beginning. Throughout our Christian life, we need the blood of the Lamb. Because we are not perfect. Whenever we fall, we sin. Do not allow the sin to continue on and accumulate in your life. But confess your sin and claim the cleansing of the blood of the Lamb. We are told that the saintest of the believers, they need the blood more than anybody else. We are told that even the tears of our repentance needs the cleansing of the blood. We do not know how much throughout our life we need the blood of our Lord Jesus. You never leave the blood of the Lord Jesus behind. Every day, every moment, we need a cleansing of the blood of the And these are the overcomers. Do not think that the overcomers are those perfect people. No. The overcomers are people just as we are. They have weaknesses. They have failures. They need the blood of the Lamb. But they avail themselves of the blood of the Lamb. Brothers and sisters, do you think that you have gone beyond the need of the blood of the Lamb? If that's the case, it shows that you are deep in sins and transgressions. You make light of what sin is. We need the blood of the Lamb throughout our life. Thank God. These are overcomers. You may think the overcomers are perfect. No. The overcomers are people just like we are. We have our failures. We have our weakness. We fall. But thank God, His blood avails for us. The precious blood of our Lord Jesus. When we were at the table of the Lord, we drink the cup. It reminds us of the blood of the Lamb. We need Him every day, every moment. So, brothers and sisters, do not have the false idea that an overcomer is a perfectionist. There is no perfectionist. We are all sinners saved by grace. So number one, they are overcomers, not because of their perfection, but because of the blood of the Lamb. Doesn't that give you hope? I do. I thank God for the blood of the Lamb. Number two, for the word of their testimony. These overcomers have a testimony. And brothers and sisters, we know that what is our testimony? Our testimony is the testimony of Jesus. We do not have any testimony of our own. That is to say, we have nothing to boast of. But thank God we have a testimony. It is the testimony of Jesus. We can boast of Him. How He is our Savior. How He saved us to the uttermost. How He will never leave us nor forsake us. How He intercedes for us unceasingly. Brothers and sisters, we testify of our Lord Jesus. Are we ashamed of Him? No. We are proud of Him. We witness to the people of our Lord Jesus. He is everything to us. They have that testimony. Just like in the early days. You find in Antioch, those believers, Gentiles, as well as Jews, they were saved. And they prayed to the Lord Jesus. They worshiped the Lord Jesus. They testify for the Lord Jesus. When they open their mouth, it is the Lord Jesus. So the people in the world look at them and say, who are they? They are not all Jews. Mostly Gentiles. Now who are they? They cannot figure out. But then because they always mention the Lord Jesus. Everything is the Lord Jesus. So they say, you are Christian. Christ man. You know, Christian, in the beginning, is a sarcastic word. Today we take it as a glory. But when Christian, the word was given, it was a sarcastic thing. The brothers and sisters, are we worthy to be called Christian? Oh, a shame to be Christian. The word of their testimony. You know, there is a funny story in the book of Acts. When Paul was in Ephesus, there were seven sons of the Jewish high priest. And they did a work of exorcist. They tried to drive out demons. But when they saw Paul drove out demons in the name of the Lord Jesus, and he was so successful, so they tried to use the name of Paul. So as they were exorcist people, they say, in the name of Jesus, preached by Paul, I cast you out. And the demon said, Paul I know, Jesus I know, who are you? And he overcame two of them. And they had to flee naked. And this thing was known all over Ephesus. Brothers and sisters, if we want to testify of the Lord Jesus, the word of the Lord Jesus, it has to be real. If it's not real, it doesn't work. On the contrary, it may work otherwise. But these people, they lived for the Lord Jesus. So their testimony was true. When they mention the Lord Jesus, there is power there. And the devil will be cast out. Number three, they love not their life, even unto death. The life there is soul life. They are willing to give their life for the Lord. Not because of protecting their life, they gave us Christ. No. They love not their soul life, even unto death. They are willing to let their soul life die, that the life of Christ may grow in them. And brothers and sisters, these are the overcomers. So do not have the wrong idea that the overcomers are perfectionists. No, they are far from that. They need the blood of the Lamb. Only by the grace of God, they are able to witness, testify of Christ. And they are willing to give up their life for the Lord. Now, does that give us a little hope? I hope so. So, dear brothers and sisters, as we are living at this critical time, let us learn the secret. Because it is the will of God that He wants every one of us here to be an overcomer. Because He is the overcomer. So may the Lord help us. Let's pray. Dear Lord, our heart bows in worship. We praise and thank Thee for loving us to the uttermost. Thou knowest that we are not perfect. But thank you, Lord. Thy blood is ever available. Teach us how to treasure Thy blood. Teach us how to depend on Thee, Lord, for our life. Teach us how to be faithful to Thee. Teach us how to deny ourselves, take up the cross, and follow Thee. Lord, we are waiting for Thy imminent return. It is the prayer of our hearts. Come, Lord Jesus.